Chapter 19. What is he playing at? Either he's running the guard or he isn't. I know he gets results, but he has to make up his mind about whether he's a fighter pilot or a special forces colonel. I don't know if he just likes playing with X-wings or if he's trying to score points with the admirals. Maybe both. Captain Gearden, in a message to his wife, on the subject of Colonel Jason Solo. Third Fleet Base, Coruscant. It was a dream, a real dream, Luke hoped, the kind caused by eating too close to bedtime, or enduring too much stress, and not a force vision. But it had woken him early. His son Ben appeared, head in hands, crying, sobbing. "It's too high a price. It's too high a price." That didn't sound like the kind of thing Ben might say. But then Ben was changing into a man almost before his eyes now. Luke sat in the deserted wardroom of the Third Fleet shore base and waited for Jaina. He let his gaze rest on the row of ship's badges that were hung neatly along the pleakwood paneling behind the bar. No, military discipline was none of his business, but Jason Solo was. Jaina arrived, still wearing her orange flight suit, and sat down in the chair beside him with slow care.
"Thanks for coming, Uncle Luke."
"I wanted to hear your side of it. I don't believe Jaina Solo would ever turn tail and run during an engagement."
"I'm suspended from duty."
There was no point telling her that the gossip had already ripped through the fleet. She'd refused to obey an order to attack. It was the kind of thing that got a high-profile Jedi pilot a lot of attention. What happened?
"I didn't think it was appropriate to continue attacking a civilian vessel when it was retreating."
Luke knew the answer, but he asked anyway. "Who ordered you to do that?"
"Jason."
"Had the ship fired on Alliance vessels?"
"No, but it breached the exclusion zone, and it had targeted Jason. I took out its aft laser cannons, but it was still capable of firing. Then it withdrew from the exclusion zone, and Jason ordered me to open fire on it."
Up to that point, Jaina had been detached and professional, couching everything in military terms. Then her frown deepened.
"It was just wrong, Uncle Luke. He wanted destruction. He wanted to teach them a lesson. I felt it."
Luke chewed over the complexities of rules of engagement. Technically, the freighter was a proven threat. It could still attack Alliance ships, even if it had moved outside the exclusion zone. Technically, Jason was right. Had it not been Jason, Luke would have chalked it up to the split-second decisions people had to make in battle, and accepted it sadly. But it had been Jason's order. One more incident that showed Luke how far toward the dark side his nephew had moved. The Jason he had known was gone, and Lumia was around. She was back, and that boded ill. She was here. He'd have to find her.
"Mom and Dad are going to be so ashamed of me," said Jaina. "Please don't tell them. I'll do it myself when I'm ready."
"They know the kind of person you are." Luke reached out and took her hands. "But why haven't you defended yourself?"
"Because if I told everyone what happened, they'd think I was whining. You know, everyone else has to do as they're told, but Jaina Solo thinks she's above orders."
"I know you're right, Jaina."
"You wouldn't have fired, would you?"
"I meant that I know Jason is turning to the dark side, and that it's beyond anything that you or I did when we ventured there."
"I don't want to be right."
"Neither do I."
"You're arguing with Mara about it, aren't you?"
Jaina said. "Sometimes."
"She can't see what he's like these days?"
"She sees, but she has another explanation, and we live in difficult times."
"We always do. That's no excuse."
"So what are you going to do now that you're grounded?" Luke asked.
"Until I face a court-martial, no idea. Can I be of use to you? I'd go find Mom and Dad, but I don't think that would help them right now."
"I'll think of something. How's Zek taking this?"
"Trying to be understanding. I don't want to be understood. I just want this insanity to stop.
Me too, said Luke. Come on, come and have lunch with me and Mara. We don't see enough of you these days.
Do you stay in touch with Mom and Dad?
If you mean do we talk, not much. But I'm always in contact with Leia. I'm afraid it's your dad I've lost touch with. Luke could remember the time when the three of them had been inseparable. It had been impossible to imagine then that there would ever be rifts or that they'd be fighting on opposite sides. I miss him.
I'd bet he misses you, too.
Luke thought of straightforward battles against evil, and how he had never given the gray areas a second thought. He missed that, too. On the way back to the apartment, the traffic lane seemed slower than normal. The stream of air speeders was backing up. Luke switched to the Holonews traffic channel to find out where the delay was, and heard a new fact of daily life in Galactic City. A number of sky lanes had been closed, and the traffic rerouted, while CSF officers cleared up after a riot.
"We'd better get used to this," Jaina said. "The Alliance just upset a whole new bunch of people, as well as Corellia."
Somewhere Luke felt Ben in sudden, brief pain. Not in trouble, not in danger, but in emotional pain. It was faint, almost like an incomplete memory, and then it was gone again as if it had been snatched back under cover. He wondered why he hadn't picked up anything before. Alarmed, he opened the comm link and called Mara. "Honey, is Ben with you?"
"No."
Her voice tightened. He heard the pitch rise.
"What's wrong?"
"Can you feel him? Is he okay?"
"I can't feel anything. No sign of him."
Jason. Luke knew his nephew could disappear from the Force when he wanted to. Maybe he could mask the presence of others. Ben would be alongside him. He knew that much. And he couldn't feel Jason at all. "Okay, honey, just checking. I'm on my way home with Jaina." He shut the link and looked for another route home. There was no point chasing Ben and having another fight right now. The last time they'd spoken, Ben had seemed close to working things out for himself. Forcing a Jedi to do anything was always of questionable use, even if that Jedi was your little boy.
"You have to get Ben away from Jason," said Jaina, unprompted.
"I know," Luke said. "I'm trying to get him to make that choice for himself. If I force it, I'll make Jason a martyr in his eyes."
"Am I wrong to think this about my own brother?"
"What do your senses tell you?"
"That he's going to somehow break my heart one day."
"Yes," said Luke. "We need to make sure that never happens." But it already has, he thought. It already has. The Solo's apartment, Coronet Corellia. "You gotta hand it to Gedgen," said Han. "He must have had all this planned." Fat had already worked out a fast exit from the Solo's shabbily anonymous apartment. From the window, he could see the red flashing lights of Corellian Security Force speeders racing across the city. When he checked his bank account, one of them anyway, he was already 1 million credits better off. Gedgen certainly paid promptly. Myrta gave Han a wary look.
"Forget Gedgen. Call your son."
Leia Solo, and despite the decade that had passed since he had last seen her, Fat had still recognized her immediately, had a comm link pressed to one ear.
"I'm trying."
She stared at the comm link in exasperation and then snapped it shut.
"He's not answering. Let's try the Jedi way. That usually gets his attention."
She clasped her hands in front of her and closed her eyes for a moment. Fett didn't care for Jedi. They were an aristocracy, winners in a genetic lottery. And there was something about the lack of merit required that rankled with Mandalorians. But for all the lightsaber trophies he kept on display from Jedi bounties, Fett knew they had their uses. All I care about now is seeing Aelin. Corellia can burn for all I care.
You doing some of that Jedi mind stuff?
Myrta demanded.
Leia opened her eyes and didn't look amused. I'm reaching out to my son in the Force to make him realize I need to talk to him. He'll know it's me.
On the wall, a holoscreen showed a harassed-looking news anchor relaying the news that the president had been assassinated. The deputy president, Val Barad, suitably respectful, paid tribute to Sal Solo and said that an emergency meeting had been called with leaders of all the political parties to work out a way forward.
"First time he's been allowed out in public since Thrakken came to power," said Han. "He must think this is his lucky day."
"Come on, Jason," Leia muttered.
Han, fixed on the holoscreen, snorted in contempt. "Oh, here's our little buddy now." Fett turned to see Dirk Gedgen being interviewed. He was consummately calm and grim-faced, and spoke of his shock at the news. He was rather convincing. A dangerous young man, Fett decided, and one who'd have a fine political career. He'd eat Han Solo alive. Maybe Leia would be able to handle him.
"He's talking about a coalition government," Han muttered.
"Dividing the spoils," said Fett.
"Thrakken must have ticked off more people than I thought. I didn't realize even his own party hated him that much.
Maybe they'll build a statue to you, Solo.
Hey, it's your happy little partner who whacked him, pal."
Myrta had started pacing up and down the apartment, now watching both the doors and the windows. Leia opened her comlink. "Try again."
"Thrakken said there were still other assassins out there," Han said quietly. Fett shrugged.
"Not now they know he's dead."
"You sure?"
"If they're not going to get paid, why would they want to kill you?"
Han frowned slightly.
"I suppose that's bounty hunter logic."
Fett wondered if he should point out to Han that he had more to fear from Gedgen and his cronies than from an honest, tired killer. But Han should have been able to work that out for himself. Anyone who could hire a hit on a rival politician would have no compunction about doing the same to Han Solo. Fett was glad he worked in a trade where the rules were nice and clear. Then Leia said,
"Jason! Jason, this is urgent,"
and the room fell silent. Fett killed the audio on the holoscreen. Myrta stared at him, unfathomable. Listening to one side of the conversation was agonizing.
"What does she look like now? Is she married? Does she have a family? How will I get her to listen to me? And what am I going to say to her?"
"Jason," said Leia, "Thrakken's dead. Don't ask."
"No.
Ask your father about that."
"Aelin,"
Myrta interrupted.
"Ask him about Aelin."
Leia nodded emphatically.
"Jason, this is important. You said you arrested a bounty hunter called Aelin Habur. Your father did a deal about Thrakken."
"No, listen, Jason."
"I need you to listen. Now Thrakken's dead, the woman isn't a threat, and her father wants to see her very badly." "Jason?"
Fett felt sweat beating on his top lip despite his helmet's environment controls.
"Jason, repeat that."
Leia's gaze fixed in mid-distance and then flickered, as if she'd heard a reply she wasn't expecting.
"Jason, her father is Boba Fett."
Whatever Jason had said, Leia was having problems understanding it. She closed the comlink and ran one hand over her hair, not quite looking at him or Myrta.
"I'm sorry," she said. "I don't know how to tell you this, but Aelin Habur died under interrogation."
"No, no, I was going to talk to her. I was going to put things right."
Fett told himself that he didn't care about anything or anybody, and that Aelin was a stranger, but it was a lie. The fact that he had last seen her as a baby and that she had tried to kill him didn't change a thing right then. She was his daughter. He was dying and he wanted to see her. He reeled. He had no answer. He looked at Myrta Gav, and she stared back at him, and her face was stricken. There was no other word for it. Then she leveled her blaster at him. Instinct made him reach for his, and the next thing he saw was a streak of white fire coming at him almost in slow motion, and Leia Solo reaching out both hands, as if she could seize the very energy with them. Myrta's blaster flew high in the air and clattered across the tiled floor.